Richie and John, we're here to surprise. Freedom and pride, we're living out loud, celebrating our community with a vibrant crowd.
Freedom and equality, let it be clear. Being who you are, a fun, frisky, and out loud queer. From Mutual Broadcasting, we're breaking free. Living our truth, just you listen and see.
From the Mutual Broadcasting System, this is the voice of LGBTQ plus news and life-focused content. The Richie and John podcast. No bullshit, just reality for the community and allies around the globe. Here are your hosts, infinitely wiser, smarter and kinder than everyone in the Trump administration. Combined, definitely uncensored, even if they are not uncut. Richie Roy and John McMullen. Give them hell, boys.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Richie and John. It is Newsday Tuesday. We just had our 4th of July weekend, for better or for worse. I don't know if your pets have emerged from under the sofa yet. Hopefully. And of course, I'm here with my co-host, John McMullen. John, how was your 4th of July weekend?
Surprisingly quiet. I live in a neighborhood that has a lot of Hispanic families that generally tend... I don't think they're really celebrating the independence of America, but they always love to blow off fireworks. And it's illegal to blow off any fireworks, you know, other than the ones that are in big shows that they set up from the various municipalities around here, because we're in the desert. And, you know, it's summertime and things catch fire real easy in California, as you may have seen once or twice in your life. And it was just, it was pretty freaking calm this year. And you know, the dog didn't get all freaked out and stuff, so that was good.
Excellent. Well, that is great.
Yeah. How was yours?
It was good. It was nice. There were some fun events up here in the Hudson Valley, some LGBTQ events that I went to that were really fun. So got to be around community on the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I heard something about you had some fun up at Woodstock.
Yes, there was a pool party up at Woodstock that was fun. There were hot dogs, of course, of various kinds, if you know what I mean. And there was also an orchard disco, which was at an apple cider orchard. And that was fun. A fun time, too. So it was nice. And we have a bunch of stories for you this week and might as well just start right in with the University of Michigan, where a lawsuit has been filed against the University of Michigan and its student-run Michigan Law Review by an anti-diversity group that claims that the journal discriminates against straight white men. The group, I know, poor straight white men. The group faculty, alumni, and students opposed to racial preferences, or FASORP, alleges race and sex preferences illegally influence law review selections, violating Title VI and Title IX. Quote, left-wing students and affirmative action devotees at Michigan Law School were unhappy with the merit-based selection process, the group claims in its federal complaint. Only 40% of the members of the law review, they argue, are chosen based on scores. The remaining 60% go through a holistic review committee where applicants allegedly identify race, gender, and sexual orientation. Quote, the process is rigged to ensure a diverse number of women, racial minorities, and LGBTQ plus students, the group says. The university responded, quote, we remain committed to following the law and will vigorously defend against the allegations.
I have one question for you, Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Why does their acronym for their group sound like a burp?
Because they are. They're a burp. I mean, This is we've seen this before. The Trump administration has been poking around and harassing the Harvard Law Review for similar types of things. We're going to see more of this. And it's really under the current administration and the executive orders and everything else. Anytime in any place that a straight white man is not chosen over anyone else, it is de facto suspect and is rife for a lawsuit. And essentially now, if you're hiring for a position or if you're putting together a law review, you have to assume that you're probably going to get sued if your choice isn't a straight white man.
What a load of bullpucky.
Yeah. Yeah, and the presumption's on you to prove, you know, well, you know, look, we didn't take, because, you know, they're saying any consideration of race or gender or sexual orientation or anything is illegal and cannot be done at all. It can't even be a factor. It can't be part of the calculus in any way. And so if you end up choosing, you know, a black woman for a job, then surely there must have been a straight white man that could have gotten it instead. So you probably were being illegal. I mean, that's where it comes down to, is the presumption that a straight white man should always be able to get the job.
Nonsense.
Or be on the law review or whatever.
Nonsense.
And
that really makes me mad. As a white man, it makes me mad.
And it just, you know, again,
I hate to be lumped in with those knuckle dragging a-holes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. You know? And it's just, you know, it goes back to the thing where this, you know, there was the Supreme Court sort of held unanimously, you know, that discrimination claims, you know, basically I was discriminated against because I was straight as opposed to gay, are held to the same standard as those who have a minority status. But what that means is, I mean, here we're just seeing this sort of weaponization of the civil rights process by people who are the demographic in power. You know, straight white men, regardless of what they think and what their Reddit forums say and their podcasters, cry about, you look at every statistic and they have the vast majority of positions at the top level of major corporations. There's pay inequity. If you aren't a straight white man, you go down the list. And so these grievances are just complete bullshit. But we're going to see a lot more of this. This is not the last time we're going to see one of these lawsuits.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, you know, I consider myself something of an entrepreneur. I definitely have that entrepreneurial spirit and have had it since I was in high school, really. That was when I created my first business. And so this story kind of caught my attention. But LGBTQ plus entrepreneurs continue to face bias in venture capital, often hiding their identities just to secure funding. That was not the case for me the first time I went in front of venture capitalists. However, I can understand why it would be for a lot of people. Anyway, 75% of LGBTQ plus founders conceal who they are when pitching, according to CNBC. In the award-winning documentary Show Her the Money, half the featured founders and investors identified as LGBTQ plus women, a fact that emerged naturally. Quote, I felt like I had to dress down, change my story, even my bio, one founder said. Others admitted to code switching to appear more fundable. Despite the emotional toll, these founders are building strong teams, creating jobs, and outperforming expectations. Quote, backing LGBTQ plus founders isn't charity, it's good business, says Catherine Gray. She is the CEO of She Angel Investors. Still, venture capital tends to reward familiarity. Often, cis straight white men and advocates are calling for change, urging investors to expand their networks and support underrepresented innovators. Quote, fund what you want the future to look like. And I can tell you that was kind of part of what our pitch was when I was out pitching Stellar Networks back in the, you know, late 1990s into 2000. And it was amazing the stuff that came out in those conversations and the ignorance that was really on display during that exercise.
Yeah, it's the line that really stuck out to me is the rewarding familiarity. There's this, you know, idea that, well, I've been successful based on my demographics, or I look around and all the rich folk I see are straight white men. Obviously, it's because they're straight white men that they became rich, not, you know, sort of the other way around. It's this chicken and egg. But yeah,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I remember one story in particular when we were pitching a group of venture capitalists at a investment group in New York City, actually in Rockefeller Center, and their name was Sonnenschein Pastor. And when I sat around this conference table with these guys, and there must have been, I don't know, six or seven of them who were there peppering me with questions, one of them asked me if I was crazy because I was talking with them about the fact that we created content. This is, of course, at an early time in streaming media for niche audiences. And they asked me, are you crazy? because one of our concepts was doing a channel for women. And they said, that's more than half the population. That's not a niche market. And I said, well, when you turn on talk radio, when was the last time you heard them talk about breastfeeding or going to the gym and having to be a working mom, and you know, and all these other topics that I brought up to them? I'm like, this is at a time when there were a couple of relatively new websites that were really generating a lot of interest in, you know, among women. Women.com was one of them, and I forget what the other one was, but there were a couple of them that were very, very popular at the time and attracting millions of women in the United States to them. And I was like, if this is the case, then, you know, why are these sites, you know, as successful as they are? But, you know, they didn't get it because it wasn't them. It wasn't, you know, a reflection of what they see when they look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think it also goes, because this is specifically an article about entrepreneurs facing bias in venture capital. And there's also venture capital is a particularly toxic place that really, I mean, I think they literally still think that like the size of your testicles determines how successful you're going to be. You know, there's this idea of kind of the alpha swagger venture capital dude. And anyone who doesn't hew to that line is clearly not cut out to do business.
Yeah. Well, I certainly met my share of them. Maybe I should have hauled my balls out.
Yeah. You know, and this even kind of reminds me sort of a related thing. I saw on social media some, I forget, a representative or someone who, you know, an elected official on the right, a Republican, of course, a MAGA person, bemoaning the fact that ads on TV aren't white people. And that they need to put ads on TV with white people in them again, because all the ads seem to have people of color and gay people in them now, and real Americans are white. So again, it's this kind of like what, you know, what you think the world looks like and what, you know, what it should be. And the fact that, you know, in 2025, we're still talking about folks hiding their identity, changing the way they dress, their bio, in order to get funding for companies. We're still talking about that white people should be in the ads. I mean, it's a lot.
That is annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, there is another story that's going to set the hair on the back of your neck on fire, and it's about a teacher who once again gets screwed over. And surprise, surprise, it's because he was teaching at a Catholic school. What's the story?
Yeah, these stories. So a beloved, and it's always beloved, by the way, in these stories, right. A beloved Louisiana music teacher.
Hated.
Right, right.
Not a hated, lecherous old, you know, creep.
Right. It's a beloved Louisiana music teacher who was fired after his husband's obituary revealed their marriage. Oh, Mark Richards, who taught at St. Francis Xavier for 21 years. Richards said school officials accused him of violating the morality clause in his contract.
Now, wait a minute. I thought that I had read that school officials knew pretty much all along that he was a queer.
Right. I mean, that may have been the case. But again, it's once a parent flags it, then suddenly, they feel a need to jump.
So were parents up in arms about this guy and wanted him gone?
Who knows? A parent flagged the obituary. It could have just been one jerk. But
not the whole school? Because I had read that parents had rallied behind him, and that there were more than 1,500 signed a petition calling the firing unjust.
Correct. Yeah, no, right. That's the majority of people, probably most of the teachers there, many of the administration, the parents, I'm sure the students who love this teacher, think that this is bullshit. But it's a knee-jerk reaction based on...
It's just like the greater America where the majority no longer rules.
Right. You know, it's we've seen these stories for many years. You know, the person who works at the Catholic school before it used to be actually worked anywhere, you know, and we may be headed back in that direction. But, you know, the Catholic school teacher who didn't talk about home life because they were gay or lesbian. And then someone drops a dime and the school dismisses them summarily. I would, you know, the number of these stories that happen to be music departments or choral directors, dear Catholic churches and schools, your music people are all gay, just to let you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, like the person who's playing the organ in a church is generally somebody who is an expert at playing with organs.
Right. Well, you know, you have to be lighting the loafers to tap all those little pedals at the bottom so quickly. But yeah, it's a sad story. You know, no one wins here. Literally no one wins. The students don't have a teacher who they love for many years. The parents are upset because, their children's education will be made worse because a good teacher isn't teaching that anymore. That teacher is out of a job, also sort of shortly after losing his husband. So what a piece of shit the school administration is.
Yeah. Probably 33 years ago, I actually dated a guy who was not a school teacher, but he did play the organ in his church. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me about it. He would always go to these conferences with the music directors from all these church choirs and so on, because it was always a big old gay confab.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, this is crazy, you know? I mean, and they're all, you know, running around pretending to not be who they are at that mm-hmm. back at that time. That was of course back in like the, you know, 1980s, 90s, and it makes, you know, it's so different than the world we live in today, and yet here we are going back into those kinds of scenarios, and I think people are going to find themselves going back into the closet again because of the fear that they have around all the shenanigans that are going on in our government and in other countries around the world as well.
Right. Like, and speaking of China. China. Yep. What's going on across the Pacific Ocean, John?
Well, China has intensified its crackdown on female writers of gay male erotica. Yeah. They have arrested at least 30 authors, most of them women in their 20s, since back in February. And the popular danmei, or boys' love genre, once a booming entertainment trend, is now the focus of a government campaign to, quote, clean up the internet in China. Writers are being charged under China's pornography laws for, quote, producing and distributing obscene material, which includes descriptions of gay sex, and lawyers say that heterosexual content rarely receives the same kind of treatment. Of course not. One author told the BBC, quote, a phone call shattered my dreams. Authorities have reportedly arrested 50 writers in one province and questioned many more. Social media posts with the hashtag Haitang Authors Arrested reached 30 million views before being censored. Critics argue that the crackdown targets women's expression and, quote, it's men who make the rules in a particular society, one Weibo user wrote. Some families say that police are extorting writers for cash to avoid prosecution. You know, it seems like we have an illness that is maybe spreading as fast as COVID did around the world with regards to all this faux BS around morality and adult content. We were just talking last week about what's going on in the crackdown in the United States towards adult content creators and, you know, the laws that they're trying to put in place, similar to when back in the, what was it, the 1990s, I guess, that we had the whole effort to do the Child Online Protection Act and all that mm-hmm. crazy crap. And once again, we're now dealing with this shit, and it's part of the agenda from Project 2025. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, globally, this is a problem. It is just one more example of hypocrites who probably are going home and pulling out the smut, but have control in their land and able to, you know, infringe on other people just so that they can exercise their control over other people. Live and let live.
It is really chilling to hear this story because, you know, this is gay male, this is story, right? These are stories, you know, right.
It's fiction.
You know, It's fiction. Writers of fiction, probably, I imagine, posting their fiction online. You know, this is just basically, I think, the existence of a storyline that there are gay men who are either in a romantic relationship or a sexual relationship, that alone is sufficient enough for it to rise to the level of being banned. And, you know, I think that's why
you can't even think it.
Right.
You know, eventually, they're just going to have some sort of chip that's going to read whatever's in your mind at the moment. And God help you if there's something little freaky.
Right. Or just, yeah. I mean, query what would happen if we all had Elon Musk's Neuralink chips in our head already. What would that look like? But yeah, and we're going to see efforts to kind of push the envelope on this stuff in every way in this country as well.
I'd like to see mm-hmm. Elon Musk's head turn into a cow chip.
A cow chip. So the thing that this story did bring up, apart from just the sort of the chilling of speech aspect, is I am from time to time a consumer of gay male fiction erotica myself. And one of the things that is interesting is a lot of it in the US, and it seems like in China as well, a lot of it is written by women. And it's for an audience of women as well. And it's really interesting because when you read the stories, it's like this kind of bizarro world gay male experience. Because as a gay male, I'm like, this is really not accurate, because it really focuses on some aspects of this sort of homosocial, you know, or gay relationship that I think a gay male writer would generally not focus on. A lot of it is very much about many of the stories that I've read. I mean, I'm not being completely universalizing here, but there will be like four chapters about longing, basically longing for the other person. And then eventually then they will finally meet, and there's a lot of tears and a lot of, like, you know, clothes rent, you know, rending clothes in sorrow and in whatever. And then there's this kind of like gauzy transition past the sex and then back to like more of the emotional component.
Maybe we should put on a conference for female writers of male erotic fiction.
Maybe. But I think it's part of it. I think because in the US too, I think a lot of the audience is women who are interested in seeing men portrayed outside of the sort of heterosexual norm of, you know, an either emotionally unavailable or emotionally not interested character. Yeah. And the way to do that is to import that into a gay male scenario, apparently. So
yeah, tell us about a story out of Florida, because I understand somebody is not going to jail that the cops tried to put there.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah. So we got a good story out of Florida. A Florida judge has dismissed charges against Marcy Rankin, a 20-year-old trans woman who was arrested for using a women's restroom at the state capitol. Rankin was protesting Florida's 2023 law banning trans people from using restrooms that don't match their sex assigned at birth. Prosecutors missed the deadline to file formal charges, leading the Leon County judge to throw out the case. "I know that you know in your heart that this law is wrong and unjust," Rankin told lawmakers before her arrest. Quote, "I know that you know that I have dignity. That's why I know you won't arrest me." But two officers did arrest her after she used the restroom, saying she was, quote, "sassy" and might do it again.
I love that.
Yeah.
Rankin later. This was in the legislative building, right?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So this was in Tallahassee, and she did it at the legislature. She was really, you know, she was cruising for a bruising, and I don't mean that in a bad way. She was definitely challenging them to go ahead and you do your best, but they still managed to F it up.
Yep. Rankin later described her time in a men's jail and the online abuse that she received. Quote, "I'm somebody's child," she said in one emotional video. "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, indeed?" You know, I feel like that needs to, you know, maybe on the Statue of Liberty, because obviously the "give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses" is passe, because the U.S. isn't interested in that. Maybe they should just change the etching on there to just say, "What's wrong with you?" Because I ask that question about this country like 700 times a day. The wanton and gleeful responses of cruelty towards other people from the right to me, it is both constant and it is breathtaking and it's demoralizing.
You know, it really is. I've been thinking that a lot as I've been reading some of these responses that people have to somebody who will post, you know, some tragic story about, you know, another immigrant who is being, maltreated or mistreated, you know, by our law enforcement, federal law enforcement people or our military in their quest to do Donald Duck's, you know, dirty work. And the fervor with which people get behind this stuff and are, you know, people who've never been impacted negatively. And really, if you look at it, probably are people who have benefited in many ways from the labors of those people who are now being terrorized.
Yeah. And you see it, a lot in the anti-immigration stuff, in glee over people who are innocent being sent to a jail in South America with no way to get back, people thinking that's hilarious and that person either deserved it or, you know, even if they didn't, well, who fucking cares? You know, own the libs, cry more libs, you know, they're down there and they're not coming back. That's real. And you see the stuff, you know, in that regard, you see things like, you know, when Biden, you know, had a diagnosis of cancer and everyone from the president on down said, well, we're not actually that sorry. You know, screw him. Hope he dies from cancer soon. Like just the kind of inhumanity and sort of psychopathy that is just rampant on that side. You know, there are pictures of people with MAGA hats standing in front of the alligator Alcatraz sign that they've put up on the highway, taking pictures because they can't wait to show that they are down there in support of a concentration camp in a swamp.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to tell people who are, you know, people of faith what they should or should not believe, but I will tell you that if there is, in fact, a God, and if there is, in fact, a judgment day at the end, I can't imagine it's going to be a great trip for some of these people.
Right. And, you know, depending on how many years from now it is, but I imagine that someday there will be something akin to the Nuremberg and Truth and Reconciliation that took place in Germany after World War II.
Please.
Where a lot of these people are going to have to reckon with the fact that they, by hook or by crook, whether boiled in a pot like a frog or, you know, by choice, ended up on the side of inhumanity, murder, injustice, cruelty, and just lack of humanity. So folks are going to have to deal with that at some point or another.
It's really mind-boggling, especially people who claim to be pro-life people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me is the biggest batch of hypocrites that exist. You know, as long as you're a wad of goo or, you know, a bag of baby bones coming out of the womb, we care about you until you actually get here. Once you're here, you know, you're a problem. It just defies all logic.
It defies logic. And it's just, again, it goes to this cruelty, you know, that the current budget slashing things like SNAP or school lunches. And then again, people on social media or people on Fox News, or whatever, being gleeful about it, being like, well, maybe those kids should go pick up a shift at McDonald's, or, you know, well, maybe, you know, little Billy should tell his mom to get off her ass and work. You know, just, is there really any reason to be like that? I guess you have to, because that's the only way you can justify being on the side of making kids go hungry.
I saw a story the other day, or maybe it was earlier today, that the New York Post had published something that you know, had people responding to it with glee that somebody had lost their job because they had commented on an article that the Post had done, you know, with regards to the flooding that's gone on down in Texas, Guadalupe River, and that, you know, somebody had said, you know, this is nature's way of, you know, kind of the karma thing. And I know a lot of people who feel that way. And, you know, and they're happy. These people are gleeful that somebody lost their job for saying that. And I'm like, you know, why, what are you doing? You know, it's kind of like when, you know, Donald Trump made the comment several years ago in his first administration, you know, about, well, there are some good people in that group in Charlottesville, Virginia, you know, among those racists. And it just boggles the mind, you know, just people. I don't get it. Americans are the worst at it, I think. But, you know, it exists. The same thing exists all over the planet. And it's just the fact that people root for the downfall of other people. It's an illness. It's a mental illness.
It's a mental illness, and it's absolutely one that has been long stoked by the conservative flank of the Republican Party and the hard right, because it goes back to something we've talked about before, which is a very simple and incorrect way of thinking, which is zero sum. So, you know, if someone and if you take that to its logical extension, if someone who you don't like gets hurt, then that means you feel better, right? You know, it's literally that kind of that simplistic thinking.
Why does somebody else have to lose for you to win? You
it's
know,
right. That it's a fallacy, but it's one that they've bought into, you know, 100% on that side.
Yeah. You can only have winners and losers. It can't be, you know, that everybody can, you know, be successful in their own right and live a happy life. By the way, I have been to prides all over the world, and a lot of them, you know, working with a gay network and, you know, so on and so forth, going out to market our wares. But one place I have never been to pride has been to a department or a big box store. And when I saw this story come across our desk, I was completely amused, and I thought, right on. And the reaction to the retailer, I thought, or from the retailer themselves, I thought was really great as well. Tell us about that.
Yes. So a pride parade inside of an IKEA store has gone viral on TikTok, delighting customers and drawing praise online. The video posted by user Kenya Vargas shows small floats rolling through an IKEA as people cheer and dance to Lady Gaga's Born This Way. The caption reads, quote, "This caught me off guard, y'all." The video has over 1 million likes and even got a reaction from Drag Race judge Michelle Visage, who commented, quote, "Yes." IKEA Norway responded, quote, "We are proud to stand for love, equality, and being who you are, always." IKEA US also reaffirmed its support, announcing Pride sponsorships in DC, San Francisco, and the Twin Cities, and pledging up to $50,000 from sales of its rainbow Storstoma bag to the Trevor Project. An IKEA spokesperson said, quote, "We are proud to support the LGBTQIA+ community in an authentic way that encourages folks to embrace their space and make a difference."
Yeah, this is a feel-good story, and I'm really glad this is how we're ending up this edition of Newsday Tuesday. I have to tell you that we spent a lot of time earlier this year talking about Robbie Starbuck and his behavior with regards to DEI and all the nonsense that has happened since the second Trump administration took office and their push to eliminate diversity, equality, or equity and inclusion programs in corporate America. And lately, I've been seeing a lot of posts on social media about companies that are doing just the opposite now. They're reiterating their support for our community and that they're not going to kowtow to this knee-jerk BS that is happening as a result of the current U.S. administration. And that's a really good feeling. And, you know, I'm still disappointed that the Human Rights Campaign, which runs the Corporate Equality Index, has not been, in my opinion anyway, has not really been out there on the front lines doing something to turn the tide on this. And I think it would really behoove us to ask our listeners and viewers to drop us a line. You can send it to info@richieandjohn.com. And we'd like to know, do you work for a company? I don't care if it's a big company or a small company, especially if they're accessible on the internet and or do commerce online so that it can be, you know, beyond just the borders of your town. I'd like to hear from companies or people who work for companies that are still doing the right thing, that are giving benefits, that are standing up for the ideals that we hold near and dear to our heart, that we've fought and worked very hard for a long time. And I think if we could get people to, you know, send in the name of the companies that are doing this, the companies that maybe they do commerce with that they know are doing the right thing, that we should have a page on our website where we put their logo and their name and their a link to their websites and so on. So it's kind of our own equality index. Mm-hmm. And have that available as a resource for people who want to support those kinds of businesses, because I know I certainly do.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I would really like for people to let us know. Yeah. If you've felt support from the place you work, a place that you frequent. And I was just talking with someone actually at the Orchard Disco this weekend, someone who we might have on the show soon. Fun. About ways to kind of leverage not only queer or LGBTQ plus owned business, but also to tap into a really important thing, which is allyship. So again, a company does not need to be owned by a gay person to be supportive of gay people. And we need to keep track of who those companies, what those companies are. So please do write those in. And I think we'll try to start getting that information cobbled together.
Well, I hope you have a great week. And I know that we're working on a number of things to fill our substantial Saturday episodes with in the weeks ahead. So I hope you come back and check us out online and tell your friends and family about us and invite your allies to the show as well. And we appreciate your doing your part in spreading the word so that we can get out there and make an impact for our community. And again, if you'd like to send an email to us, info@RichieandJohn, you could also write to either one of us individually. It's just our first names at RichieandJohn.com. So Richie@RichieandJohn.com or John, J-O-H-N. Richie is R-I-C-H-I-E. We would love to hear from you. And I appreciate your hanging out with us today. Richie, have a great week.
All right, you too. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Richie and John is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests. If you have a problem with it, bugger off.
Freedom and equality, let it be clear. Being who you are, a fun, frisky, and out loud queer. From Mutual Broadcasting, we're breaking free. Living our truth, just you listen and see. Truth, just you listen and see.